In the new movie Inside Man, the latest film by director Spike Lee, Clive Owen plays Dalton Russell, a bank robber who's the brains behind a particularly intricate, thoroughly planned heist. He prides himself on being several steps ahead of the police throughout the robbery. Dalton has a bank full of hostages and a list of demands. In this scene, he's on the phone with the chief hostage negotiator, played by Denzel Washington. Dalton is teasing him because he's just thwarted the cop's attempt to eavesdrop inside the bank.
You shouldn't eavesdrop on people.
Well, you better get used to it, pal. It's not going to be much privacy where you're going.
You're damn right. This time next week, I'll be sucking down pina coladas in a hot tub with six girls named Amber and Tiffany.
More like taking a shower with two guys named Jamal and Jesus, if you know what I mean.
Maybe you like that kind of thing, huh?
All right, here's where we stand.
I don't need your status report, Sir Pagal. I tell you where things stand.
Sure, I just meant...
Here's where things stand. You're getting me what I asked you for. You'll have it ready in the time I gave you, or you'll sit by and you'll watch me do just what I said I would do. Clear?
Very clear. I'm trying to get you what you want, but you got to understand this. You know, it's not like the city of New York has 747s waiting around for days like today.
I understand that if you don't get my plane ready, then you might as well send a hearse.
Please, let's focus on how we can both get what we want, all
right? Hey, you're not listening. You get me what I want. I won't kill anyone.
All right. I'm on it. Let's just try to keep everybody calm, okay?
Don't I sound calm to you?
Yeah, you do.
Clive Owen, after a string of movie and TV roles in Great Britain, first was noticed in the States when he starred in the 1998 thriller Croupier. He played a struggling writer who led a double life, working as a blackjack dealer to do research for a novel. Since then, he's appeared in such films as Gosford Park, The Bourne Identity, and I'll Sleep When I'm Dead. More recently, he starred with Julia Roberts and Natalie Portman in the film version of Closer, and Bruce Willis and Mickey Rourke in Sin City. Terry spoke with Clive Owen in 2004.
I want to ask you about Croupier. This is such a terrific film. And in this, you play a writer who takes a job as a croupier running a blackjack table in a casino. And let me just play a short scene from the film. The film has a lot of voiceover narration from your character. And he's usually talking about himself, both as himself, Jack, and as Jake, the main character in his novel. Let me play some voiceover narration from your character toward the end of the film. He's at the blackjack table.
Chapter 10. He watched their faces as they lost, hour after hour, night after night, relentlessly. He questioned the conventional wisdom that gamblers are self-destructive. He had come to believe that in reality they want to destroy everyone else. Their families, loved ones, everyone. Over the whole world. Without emotion, he watched them go. Jake stayed.
That's Clive Owen as the croupier in the film The Croupier. This is a really such a great film in part about the meaning of risk. Like what kind of risk is worth taking? When are you being a sucker? What are some of the things you did to get into the spirit of this film, you know, in which you're not a gambler. Your character is not a gambler. He's opposed
to
gambling.
He's very against gambling, yeah.
Yeah, but he takes a lot of big gambles that just aren't in the casino. But anyways, so he takes this job at the casino as a croupier at the blackjack table. What's some of the preparation you had to do for this, even in terms of just like learning how to deal?
I actually went to croupier school for a couple of weeks and actually trained with the guys that were teaching there, literally just slotted in and did it properly for 2 weeks, which was a real insider's look at the way casinos work, really, because I was taught as they were taught. We were taken around the casino. We were forbidden to gamble because all croupiers are. And I remember the thing that struck me more than anything was it's one of the few environments where there's still a lot of cash, casinos, which is unusual in this day and age, to have so much cash flying around. So ultimately, they are obsessed about not being ripped off. So when they're teaching croupiers, they drill into them every single day, do not think you'll ever be able to take a penny from this casino. We've got everything covered. You'll never get away with it. And I remember thinking that sort of slight paranoia was really striking. And it is related to the fact that, you know, you're handling money all the time. It's not credit. It's You know, and there are stories of people having developed scams, croupiers developing scams. They don't tell you this. You hear it from other places of scams of how to actually, you know, get money and take it from the casino. And then I remember the other really important thing we discovered very early on in the movie is often with voiceover, you'll play the scene and Mike will shoot the whole movie and then the voiceover is laid on afterwards. You put the voiceover on. And there was on the first or second day, I was at a blackjack table and I was just generally doing some dealing. And Mike said, yeah, we'll lay some voiceover over that. And it concerned me a bit. And I went round to see him in his hotel room later. I said, I'm a bit concerned about this because it feels very unspecific to lay the voiceover just over general dealing. And I said, I think it needs to be more specific than that because often the voiceover is in the present tense. It just didn't feel tight. So we came up with this plan where I would go off and learn all the voiceovers. And then when we actually came to shoot them, I would speak them out loud. And then we would do a take where I just thought them. So there'd be people there, there'd be extras there. And the thoughts were very, very specific. So if I thought about a particular character or a person that was at my table, I could flick them a look. I could... And it worked very well. It didn't mean to say that Mike had to use all of that, because obviously he can cut away, he wants to do whatever he wants to do, but the times where he did use it, it made the voiceover very... You felt like you were inside the guy's head. It made it very, very present. And I remember that was a key discovery that we made together early on in the movie.
Clive Owen speaking to Terry Gross in 2004. He co-stars with Denzel Washington in the new film Inside Man. Terry also asked him about a series of action shorts created as ads for BMW, shown on the internet. Each starred Owen at the wheel of a BMW, outracing bad guys on a high-speed car chase. The shorts were directed by such luminaries as John Woo and John Frankenheimer. Terry asked Owen how he got involved in shooting the high-tech ads.
It was really through Croupier. Croupier just sort of made its impact in America, and then I got this call saying, did I want to do a series of commercials for BMW? And I said, no, I didn't, because I was meeting... things seemed to be opening up a bit. I was meeting lots of interesting people, and I thought it wouldn't be a very smart, cool thing to do to just jump into a bunch of commercials, because I didn't really know that much about them. And they came back and asked again, and I said, no, I really don't want to do commercials. I don't want to do this. And then right at the wire, they sent me the script of the first one, which was this 10-minute... proper, fully formed little movie script, very well written. They said, we've secured John Frankenheimer and Ang Lee to do the first two. And I suddenly thought, this project is really unusual. It's very different, and it's, you know, they're attracting serious quality people. So I literally jumped on a plane the next morning, arrived in LA, and was taken straight from the airport to a night shoot with John Frankenheimer to shoot the first one. And I'm just enormously grateful that it didn't pass me by because, as you say, I ended up working with some of the world's top directors, and it was a very exciting project. To work with that caliber of director was really exciting.
So what are some of the differences between how, say, John Frankenheimer and John Woo directed you behind the steering wheel?
Yeah, I remember that the very first one, that Frankenheimer is regarded as the king of the car chases, and he took... His really is one long car chase, and he showed me examples of actors driving fast in movies and examples of people that did it well and people who didn't do well and why they did. And he had the whole thing down to absolutely every cut of the chase. So he knew when he was going from steering wheel to rearview mirror to road to, and was incredibly specific and knew down to literally like 3-second shot. Like, this is a bit you're just going to just... pull the wheel this way, just literally 2-3 seconds and he'd be out of it. But he was that specific, and you realise that's why he's so great at doing car chases, because, you know, he puts that much attention to it.
I'll remind our listeners that John Frankenheimer, among other things, directed French Connection 2. So when he was showing you examples of good and bad acting behind the steering wheel, what were some of the things he pointed out?
It was really just to do with whether they looked like they were really driving fast. They looked in the situation. And some people didn't. When you watched them, you thought, they're not connected with the speed of the car, with everything else. And other people looked very much in the situation. I really just looked at it, and it was, you know, the same acting principles apply. There was nothing particular about it. It was just you've got to really make people feel and believe that you're in this dangerous, you know, high-speed car chase. I think he was the one that invented the whole notion of, which I did a lot of, because a lot of people said, did you do a lot of the driving yourself? But what they used to do is they used to rip the steering out, put it on the other side, place a stuntman driving the car, give me a dummy wheel, and as long as you frame out the guy sitting next to me, they can throw that car around and drive it pretty fast with me actually in it, so you can see the world racing by outside the window. And I did quite a lot of that, and I think it was John that was the first guy to do that.
What did John Woo, what kind of advice did he give you?
I mean, he was, I can't remember anything, you know, specific John Woo said, but I was a big fan of John Woo, and he's, you know, brilliant at putting together action, and there's a sequence in his one that was pretty, you know, one of the more stunning car sequences of the whole series, really. But
is that the one where the car's spinning around a lot?
Yeah, and there's a bridge being slowly going up, and there's a car, you know, there's a whole sequence where the car eventually just spins to a stop, and the wheel literally is on the edge of this very high bridge. It's a pretty stunning car stunt.
And were you in the car for that stunt?
No. They took the stunt guy got as close as he could do, then they would replace the car with the wheel on the edge and then put me in it.
We've established that your face registers a lot in films. In the BMW films, basically, it's mostly you behind the driver's wheel, and your face has to express a lot. In Croupier, your face has to express a lot, certainly in I'll Sleep When I'm Dead. What was it like the first time you saw your face on screen?
It's very strange. I wouldn't say that was the strangest thing, because you're used to seeing photographs of yourself. The strangest thing is seeing the whole of you, really. The first time you see yourself on TV or on film, walking down a street or turning around, it's the perspectives that we don't get that is the most unusual. You think, oh my gosh, I walk like that, I look like that from that angle. That's the sort of oddest thing, to see yourself that objectively. It's a very unusual experience.
Were there things you tried to fix or change about yourself after seeing your full body from every perspective?
It's strange, though, because I'm sort of wary. There are always people going to be advising you that certain aspects of yourself, the way you talk, the way you carry yourself, could be better. You know, your posture could be better. Your voice could be better. It could be clearer. And I'm always a bit wary, because I think ultimately acting is about, you know, you can't be too contrived. You can't be worrying about things like that. Ultimately, you've got to. It is an emotional job that demands a commitment. Of course, there's always an element of skill, and you know, you learn and improve and get better. It is a craft, but I'm wary of too much of it. So I am, in a similar way, I'm wary of changing things that other people think it'd be better. You know, I'm 6'2", but I don't often stand up very tall. But I'm comfortable in the way I carry myself, and I, you know, suddenly if I start, you know, standing up much straighter, and it just feels different. It feels less like me, and I feel I'm becoming something else, and I'm wary of that.
Well, Clive Owen, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Clive Owen, speaking to Terry Gross in 2004. He stars in Inside Man, the new Spike Lee joint that also stars Denzel Washington, Jodie Foster, and Christopher Plummer.